The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, news from the Richfield Reporter, music from Colonel Jack, and an episode of Death Valley Days starring Irene Hubbard, John McBride, and Frank Butler. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, music from Colonel Jack and a tale from the Old West on Death Valley Days. Right now, news from the Richfield Reporter as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Flashes by Richfield. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. From Hollywood, we bring you the 165th edition of the 18th year of the Richfield Reporter, compiled from the entire worldwide facilities of the United Press. What's going on in the world?
Two major brush fires burned out of control tonight in Southern California, fanned by winds that range from 30 to 60 miles an hour. They were in widely separated localities. One was in the Santa Monica Mountains between San Fernando Valley and the Malibu Beach area. It started between Topanga and Santa Ynez Canyons on the south side of Mulholland Drive. And the last word from hard-pressed firefighters, too busy combating the flames to make frequent reports, was that the fire had burned numerous small cabins and several square miles of brush. There were reports that some homes had burned, but these have not been confirmed by United Press. Hundreds of residences were threatened if the flames veered northward toward the Malibu section. Several hundred volunteers were fighting the flames under the direction of Los Angeles City and County firemen with nearly two dozen units of firefighting equipment. The other fire was about 40 miles south of Los Angeles in Santa Ana Canyon on the Orange and Riverside County line. That blaze swept over 6 square miles of brush and was headed toward Silverado Canyon, a thickly settled area. Nearly 1,000 men, 50 of them, Marines from El Toro Marine Air Base. The Santa Ana Canyon fire burned 5 cabins within a few hours after it started and threatened dozens of others. Residents of Southern California, anxious over the welfare of friends living in the two fire zones, may be assured that if further news and details are received while the reporter's on the air, we'll give them to you immediately. On the world scene today, the General Assembly of the United Nations adopted the American plan for control of atomic energy in Paris tonight by a vote of 40-6 over the objection of Russia. Soviet delegate Vyshinsky made a personal attack on President Truman in his last futile speech against the plan. But it was approved by the Assembly of 58 nations after voting down Russia's counterplan for control by the same margin. Because of Russia's opposition, the plan is merely a gesture and cannot be enforced. Just the same, it gives virtual world endorsement to the U.S. plan, which was advanced in 1946 by Bernard Baruch. The Soviet plan called for destruction of atom bombs and at the same time the setting up of a system of atomic energy control still to be worked out. Thus, the United States would have been ordered to destroy its bombs without any guarantee that Russia would not use the opportunity to continue development of atomic weapons herself. Meanwhile, the UN Security Council adopted a resolution ordering Jewish and Arab troops to withdraw to the positions they held in the Negev region of southern Palestine before fighting began October 14th. The resolution, offered by Britain and China, was adopted by a vote of 9-1, with a negative vote being cast by the Soviet Ukraine. Russia abstained instead of voting against the proposal, as her no vote would have amounted to a formal veto. Tonight's news from Germany says a new major airport built in 13 weeks by German men and women who worked with shovels and brooms, even their bare hands, will be open tomorrow. It will challenge Russian hopes that winter will finally starve the Allies out of Berlin, says UP correspondent John B. McDermott. Number one political development of the day was the unanimous vote of the Berlin City Council to ask the Western Allies to outlaw the Russian-issued currency in their sectors of the city. In France, armed troops stood guard at every coal pit in the country as the government pledged itself to end the 32-day-old mine strike by next Monday. Minister of Industry and Commerce Robert Lacoste said the government will use every measure in its power to guarantee freedom of work so that normal production can be resumed. In Tokyo, the International Military Tribunal of the Far East placed the blame for starting Japan on the road to aggressive war on the shoulders of the Japanese army. In the second day of reading the judgment, being passed on 25 defendants, including former Premier Tojo, the judge's decision said the Japanese army was responsible for the tie-up with Hitler and Mussolini. It accused the army leaders of lying to Emperor Hirohito to win his approval of moves essential to their grand plot against the Allies. During the campaign, they called it the presidential train. Tonight, as it takes him back to Washington, victorious in an election, the experts said he couldn't win. The correspondents are calling it the victory special. As President Truman left Independence, Missouri, he told a trackside crowd of his neighbors there were going to be a lot of red faces in Washington. Just the same, there wasn't any gloating by the Missourian who sent the poll takers into a wrestling match with conscience-stricken adding machines. At Jefferson City, Missouri, Mr. Truman gave a brief thank you speech to a crowd of several thousand persons and laughingly read them a telegram from the Washington Post. It invited him to be guest of honor at a banquet to which the newspaper also would invite editorial writers, political reporters, pollsters, columnists, and radio commentators. The telegram suggested the president wear white tie and tails and eat turkey, while the other guests would wear sackcloth and eat crow. Indicating he would not accept the invitation, Mr. Truman said, "I've been in many and many an election campaign, as you people here in Missouri know, and after the election is over, I don't bear any malice or feel badly toward anyone. The fellow who lost feels badly enough without being crowed over. That's what I'm going to tell them." He was jovial and thankful for the vote of confidence he got in Tuesday's election, but the president never lost sight of the responsibility which his victory carries. At Sedalia, he told a trainside crowd, "I have myself now a great responsibility. I hope I can fill it to the satisfaction of the people of my home state. You must stand behind me." At St. Louis, he told a cheering crowd of 10,000 in Union Station that he has the biggest job in the world, but with your help, it can be done. He won final assurance tonight that the Average Man program, on which he defeated Governor Dewey, will be in the hands of the strongest Democratic Congress since the latter days of the New Deal. The man who inherited the presidency from the late Franklin D. Roosevelt almost 4 years ago takes office this time as a winner in his own right and undisputed leader of his party. He has an emphatic popular mandate that will have to be listened to by the Democratic members of the new Congress he led to victory. Virtually complete returns show that he will deal with a Congress more solidly Democratic than at any time since 1943. The new House will have at least 262 Democrats, 171 Republicans, one American laborite. This is a net gain of 73 seats. And the Democrats have a chance of picking up another in Colorado, where their candidate is leading the only House contest still undecided. The Democrats also won 9 more Senate posts than they held in the 80th Congress, giving them a clear-cut majority of 54 to 42. Mr. Truman's first job after a Florida vacation, which starts next week, will be to prepare for submission to his 81st Congress the legislative program the 80th refused him and on which he made his campaign fight. It includes a number of controversial issues on which he may get a fight, even from some members of his own party. As he went up and down the land, he told the voters he wanted the Taft-Hartley law repealed, wanted a broad housing, continued rent controls, health, education, and social insurance program, a minimum wage of 75 cents an hour, and a civil rights program with the strength of federal law to back it up. Senator Ellender of Louisiana started the ball rolling toward making good on one of President Truman's major campaign promises, more low-cost housing for low-income families. On the heels of the Democratic sweep, Ellender said he will introduce legislation early in the next session of Congress to meet the urgent demand of the people for immediate enactment of an adequate public housing law. He said his bill will provide for an adequate program of low-rent public housing for low-income families, slum clearance, and farm housing. And so, the way was cleared for renewal of the fight over public housing, which a group of Republicans kept from passage over a period of 4 years. Representative J. Parnell Thomas, long in the headlines as chairman of the House Committee Investigating Un-American Activities, appeared before a federal grand jury in Washington, but stood on his constitutional rights and refused to testify. The grand jury is investigating charges that the New Jersey Republican padded his congressional payroll. Earlier, Thomas had insisted on a chance to testify. Today, he appeared at the scheduled hour of 10 a.m., but left less than 5 minutes later. His attorney said he persuaded Thomas not to testify because it would serve no useful purpose. UP correspondent Ruth Miner recalled that Thomas has clashed frequently with witnesses before his committee who refused to testify on constitutional grounds. Meanwhile, Assistant U.S. Attorney General Alex Campbell said the government had finished presenting its case, and it's now up to the grand jury to decide whether an indictment will be returned. Thomas was reelected last Tuesday, but will lose the chairmanship of the Un-American Activities Committee when the Democrats organize Congress in January. Meanwhile, President Truman forwarded to Congress a report warning that any American aid to China must be supervised closely by Americans on the spot if it is to be effective. The warning came at the end of a 37-page report on administration of a $350 million special relief program for China, Austria, Greece, Italy, and Trieste. 18 U.S. Air Force flyers were killed in the crash of their B-29 in the Azores less than 24 hours ago, and fear was expressed tonight for the lives of some 34 other persons who were aboard three planes reported missing and believed down somewhere in the North Pacific. Two Navy planes, a four-engine PB-4Y-2 Privateer and a P-2Y Neptune, and a DC-3 of Pacific Alaska Airlines were reported missing in the North Pacific. 11 persons were said to be aboard the airline's plane, which was overdue at Annette Island near Ketchikan on a flight from Sitka. The plane normally carries a crew of two. The Navy privateer was lost in the Bristol Bay area in western Alaska. The Navy said it carried a normal crew of 12. The Neptune plane, a long-range patrol bomber which the Navy said carried between 7 and 9 crew members, had not been heard from since 7 o'clock this morning. The B-29, which crashed in the Azores, was returning to MacDill Air Force Base, Florida, its home field, after 3.5 months of duty in England. 13 of the 18 remaining who were killed were returning to their wives and families at MacDill Field. The plane had stopped in the Azores to refuel. It took off in early darkness and rain from Le Guin Air Base, faltered, and crashed into the sea 500 yards from shore. In Stockholm, the Nobel Prize for Literature was awarded by the Swedish Academy of Literature to T.S. Eliot, the one-time Boston bank clerk who became one of the world's most famous and least understood poets. A naturalized British citizen, he was honored for his remarkable achievements as a pioneer in the field of modern poetry. At the same time, the Academy of Science announced two Nobel Scientific Awards, the Physics Prize to British cosmic ray researcher Patrick M.S. Blackett, and the Chemistry Prize to Swedish professor Arne Tiselius.
Did you know that for every 10 degrees the temperature falls, the efficiency of your car's battery goes down nearly 10%? So, if your battery's in poor condition now, you're almost sure to have battery trouble some chilly morning soon. That's your tip to see your independent Richfield dealer for a free battery checkup right away. And if he discovers signs of trouble ahead, have him install a factory-fresh Goodyear battery. Buying a world-famous Goodyear at Richfield is the best deal ever, and here's why. You get a liberal trade-in allowance on your old battery. You get an ironclad guarantee on your powerful new Goodyear battery. And what's more, if you prefer credit, your Richfield dealer will be glad to have you say, charge it the easy pay way. There's no red tape, no delay or burdensome carrying charge. Your easy pay plan can include other purchases for your car, too. Goodyear tires and nationally famous accessories that your Richfield dealer stocks. So, whatever your car needs, remember, you will get the best deal at Richfield.
Now for other news. In the West Coast maritime strike, the Independent Marine Firemen's Union offered to reopen negotiations with shipowners and waterfront employers because it said election results make pointless any further continuation of the strike. Later, Harry Bridges, head man of the CIO Longshoremen, said his union would make a bid to do likewise. It was expected the pledge of the Democratic Party to repeal the GOP-sponsored Taft-Hartley law would play a major role in such negotiations. As for the California oil strike, contracts to end the strike were signed by the CIO oil workers with Standard's El Segundo plant, the Tidewater Associated plant at Watson, Shell plants in five localities, and the Texas Company's plants in the Los Angeles Basin. La Jolla, a big wave knocked 16-year-old Tom Collins of Colorado Springs off the rocks at La Jolla Cove and swept him out to sea as members of his high school class looked on. Body of the young victim has not been recovered. Alvin Jake Powell, former New York Yankee baseball player, ended his life with a gun at police headquarters in Washington, D.C. The police report said the 39-year-old Powell had been arrested for passing a bad check at a Washington hotel. When another woman driver cut in front of her, Mrs. Joan Zeroni of Los Angeles lit out in hot pursuit, banged into the rear of the other car at two intersections, chased into a service station, and pursued it in a ring around the gasoline pumps until she crashed into a post. Booked on a charge of assault with a deadly weapon, Mrs. Zeroni declared, "Oh, I got so mad." The weatherman says Northern California will be clear tomorrow and Saturday, except for a few showers near the Oregon border tomorrow night or Saturday, rising daytime temperatures. Southern California, generally clear tonight and tomorrow, windy in the mountains and interior sections, and locally windy in coastal valleys tonight. Winds decreasing tomorrow over most sections.
And that's 30 for tonight, friends. Next edition of the Richfield Reporter at this same time tomorrow night. Remember, the pen is mightier. Just try signing a check with a sword. And don't forget, ask for Rich Lube Premium Motor Oil. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Familiar theme means that the producers of Crazy Water Crystals present for your pleasure Colonel Jack and Shorty's Crazy Hillbilly.
And it does, and here we go this time with old Wagner, folks. Just ease yourself back a little more static. Wagner, and supposing we try here with a couple of fiddles and a few guitars and banjos. Moonlight on the Colorado. Let her go, boys. That'll do, boys. We'll have little song here is going to be sung by Sue and Rawhide, When the Roses Bloom Again.
They were strolling to the gloaming as the roses were in bloom. Hey, soldier, and if we are fond and true, and their hearts were filled with sorrow as their thoughts were all too marked, as you bent the rose upon its coat of blue. Do not ask me, love, to linger, for you know not what to say, for duty called your sweetheart's name again. And your heart need not be sighing if I be among the dying. I'll be with you when the roses bloom again. When the roses bloom again beside the river, and the rather red breast lingers, we refrain. I'll be with you, sweetheart mine, if I'm not among the dying. I'll be with you when the roses bloom again. With the rattle of the battle came in whispers soft and low, a soldier who had fallen in the fray. I am dying, Captain, dying, and I know I have to go, but I have as much before I pass away. As far off is the village where the roses are in bloom, a maiden who is waiting there for me. And it's there I pray you take me, I've been faithful, don't forsake me, I'll be with you when the roses bloom again. When the roses bloom again beside the river, and the robin red breast lingers, we refrain. I'll be with you, sweetheart mine, if I'm not among the dying, I'll be with you when the roses bloom again.
That's there, when the roses bloom again, we'll all be with you. Now here's one Shad Rose gonna play. Eddie Ross, Dog Trot Reel. So let it go, Shad, on the old banjo. The Dog Trot Reel, and here we go, right along. Popping the old weasel this time, and all that's the name of the tune. Pop goes the weasel, so let her go, boys. Up goes that old weasel. Well, there's no use in quitting off like this. Let's go right on and have another good old tune. Hand me down my walking cane. What do you say? Let her go.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, featuring music from Colonel Jack and news from the Richfield Reporter. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s, when the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Right now, here's a tale from the Old West on this episode of Death Valley Days, starring Irene Hubbard, John McBride, and Frank Butler, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
As the old morning bugle call of the covered wagon trains dies away among the echoes, another true story of Death Valley Days is brought to you by the Pacific Coast Borax Company, who give you also the miracle of borax in three convenient forms. 20 Mule Team Borax for household use, 20 Mule Team Borax soap chips in the big blue and yellow sunshine box for washing clothes and dishes, and Boraxo for toilet use. And now for the old ranger and his evening's yarn, which has the extraordinary title of Shoofly.
Well, the title's no more extraordinary than the woman herself.
Shoofly was a woman?
Yes, woman prospector.
Well.
I've come across plenty of women prospectors in my time. Some of them I've already told you about. Now, there was Happy Days at Goldfield, remember?
Yeah.
Went on a glorious junket at the age of 80. Hopping freights clear across the continent.
Yes, back. I remember.
Uh-huh. And Silver Susie, that operated the mine at Cerro Gordo for years and years in order to put her children through school and college. And Ma Riggs and Hard Pan Hattie and, I've known a bunch of them in the desert around Death Valley. But none of them quite like the woman I'm going to tell you about tonight. I can remember perfectly the first time I ever met her. Me and Eddie Granite had come to Independence to file a claim we just located up in the Panamints. As we walked into the county recorder's office, we found him busy with another customer, a smallish woman with sharp eyes and wispy gray hair, dressed. It's funny how I remember such things. She dressed in a gray and white calico dress and a black straw hat.
To corner monument number 4, thence northwest 300 feet to place of beginning, including all dips, spurs, angles, and variations. Mm-hmm. This looks all right?
What's all right?
The name of the mining claim above described is and shall be known as the I'm sorry, I can't quite make this out. It looks like Shoofly.
Here's Shoofly. Because it expresses my sentiments.
You mean,
Shoofly, don't bother me.
Oh, I see. Notice the claim jumpers, eh?
Exactly.
Well, let's hope they take the hint.
They'd better.
Located this 21st day of May, 1906. This your signature here?
Yeah.
There's no other?
I got only one name.
No, I mean there's no other locator?
No.
Well. Huh.
Law don't call for more than one, does it?
Oh, no. No, of course not.
Then why'd you act so surprised?
Well, you see, you're being a woman, I thought.
Plenty of women locate claims.
They generally have partners, though.
Men partners.
Yep.
More fools, eh?
Maybe.
Yep. What do I owe you?
Recorder's fee is $1.
All right. Here you are.
Now, you understand about assessment work. State law calls for $100 worth each year to be...
I know all about that.
All right. Just wanted to make sure. Folks have been known to lose legal right to a claim because they didn't do the necessary development work.
Don't worry. I won't be losing my rights to this claim.
I hope not.
And now, give me my change, will you? In a hurry.
Well, let's see. You handed me a 5.
Yeah.
And here's 1, 2, 3, 4 you get back.
Haven't you got any real money?
Why, that's...
No, I don't like that Los Angeles paper. I want silver.
All right, ma'am, whatever you say. Here you are. 1, 2, 3, 4
Yeah, that's better.
Surprised she didn't bite him to make sure they was bona fide.
Maybe she ain't got any teeth.
What's that?
Nothing, ma'am. I was just talking to my partner here.
Oh, hello, Eddie. Hello, Ranger. Didn't recognize you.
Hello, Jim.
Howdy.
I'll be with you boys in a minute. Just as soon as this lady is through.
I'm through now. Good day.
Good day, madam. And good luck to the shoe fly. Shoe fly, don't bother me.
Shoe fly, don't bother me. Shoe fly, don't bother me. I belong to Company G.
Gosh, what a charter.
Hey, who is she, Jim?
I don't know. I never saw her before today.
If you never see her again, it'll be too soon, huh?
Well, I know two desert rats I am glad to see. Where you fellas been all this time?
Oh, scratching around.
Did you find anything?
Would we be here if we hadn't?
Hey, you sound like old Shoefly.
Hey, now, you look here.
What have you located this time, boys? The lost gun sight?
Maybe.
It's silver, anyhow.
And in the pyramids.
Here's a copy of your location notice.
Well, let's see it. Notice hereby given to the undersigned of located 1,500 feet by 600 feet, main situated between Tuber Canyon and Wild Rose Canyon in the Panamint Mining District. Well, that's a funny thing.
What is?
Why, that's the same locality as where she just located her claim.
Who?
That woman who was just in here.
You mean that...
Old Shoefly?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll be darned.
Are you sure?
Well, here's the location notice she filed.
Let me see.
See?
Situated south of Wild Rose Canyon.
And north of Tuber Canyon.
Now, that can't be any place but between the two.
No.
You're right.
Neighbors, eh? Well, that'll make it nice.
I don't think.
Well, we run out of butter and eggs, but we can borrow from her. If we get lonesome evenings, why
we... Remember the lady's sentiments, boys. Shoe fly, don't bother me.
Shoe fly, don't bother me. Shoe fly, don't bother me. I belong to Company G. Shoe fly, don't bother me. Shoe fly, don't bother me. Shoe fly, don't bother me. I belong to Company G.
Well, the hot weather set in about then. And Eddie and me quit the desert for several months. The time we was ready to go back and start work on our claim, we'd forgot all about our Shoefly neighbor till we was part way up the canyon.
Hello.
What's the matter?
Look at that.
Huh? Where?
That sign.
Private property. Keep off. No trespassing. Penal code provision. Well, can you beat that?
That ain't all neither. Look.
A shade across the trail.
Yeah. Just in case you can't read.
Well, who in tarnation did that?
Whoever it is ain't got no right to put a barrier up across this canyon. How do they think we're going to get up there to our property?
No trespassing. Penal code provisions under section 587 to 625. Is that a threat, do you reckon?
It'll take more than that to scare me. Get up, Jerry.
Wait a minute, Eddie. What are you going to do?
Right under it.
Well, it's pretty low now. I don't think you can negotiate, not unless you unpack.
Well, then we'll take it down.
Is it padlocked?
No.
Good.
Well, I'll unfasten it, and you can drive the burros through. And
you'll do nothing of the kind. I'm the owner here. Nobody goes through without my say-so.
Why, it's her.
The Shoefly woman.
Oh. Oh, you know me, huh?
Well, yes, of course.
We was in the county recorder's office the same time you was, last June.
And he blabbed to you, did he?
No, certainly not.
Well, we couldn't help overhearing the name of your claim, though.
And its location and a few other important things.
Well, we did.
And now you come snooping around to see what I got.
Oh, not at all, ma'am.
You won't have a chance to see nothing, because I'm letting nobody pass this chain.
Yeah, but, madam,
and
we...
if you try to force your way past, you'll get this.
Hey, wait a minute.
A gun.
It's loaded, too, and I'm a good shot.
Now, listen, ma'am.
You heard what I said.
We're good.
Go on, vamoose.
Well, let me explain.
No back talk now.
We ain't trespassers.
No.
No. Didn't look like it taking down that chain.
We got a claim further up the canyon. Now, if you don't believe it, we'll show you the records.
Yeah, we're on our way up there now.
Up by this trail, you ain't.
Yeah, but we...
And that's final.
Well, this is the only direct trail, ma'am.
Yeah, to get up there from the other side, we'd have to go away to heck and back.
Yeah, that's your funeral.
Well, now, surely you wouldn't put us to all that time and trouble, ma'am, when...
You see that chain, don't you?
Well, yes, but...
And you see that sign?
Sure.
And you see this gun. I don't know how I can make it any plainer to you. Unless I...
Hey, be careful.
Say, what do you mean, shooting at us like that?
That's your starting signal.
You...
And you turn your outfit around and start down this trail, do you hear? And if you ain't on your way by the time I count ten, I'll shoot again. And this time I'll take good aim.
Roger.
One, two...
Why, you...
Three...
Come on, Eddie, come on. There's no use arguing with
you. The old she-devil.
Turn around, Kate.
Six,
turn around. Down we go.
Seven...
Well, sir, that was the beginning of our troubles with our neighbor, Shoofly. Not only did we have to take a long, roundabout, difficult trail back and forth to our property, but whenever she got so much as a glimpse of us, she'd come a-stalking around with that gun of hers, taking occasional pot shots at us just to kind of remind us that she was still there. After a couple of months of this, we finally went to the sheriff and complained.
It ain't just us, Sheriff. She's got all the prospectors in that region terrorized. you can laugh if you want to, but...
So one poor old woman's got you all you tough desert rats terrorized. Well, I'm surprised at you.
Maybe terrorized is putting it a little bit too strong.
Yeah, she's giving us all the willies anyway.
Well, that's a fact, Sheriff. To say nothing of the inconvenience she's caused us.
Yeah, she's got an idea we're trying to jump her claim.
Whereas she's really the one who's claiming something that don't belong to her.
What do you mean?
Why, her property don't take in that canyon trail.
Well, the boundary runs about 25 feet to the east of it.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
We've seen the location notice over at the recorder's office.
Well, have you explained this to her?
Explained? Heck, we can't get within shouting distance of her without having her take a shot at us.
Crazy, most likely.
She ain't crazy. She's just a ornery.
In any case, ain't no use arguing with
her. Well, I'll go up and talk turkey to her.
Good.
Well, you best take a posse with you, Sheriff.
I reckon I can tackle her single-handed.
Hey, you don't know Shoofly.
tell me, is she there most of the time?
All the time.
Every minute of the day and night.
She never leaves the place.
Yeah. Who's working the ground for her?
I don't know. We never got close enough to see.
Yeah, it's my guess she's doing the work herself.
What makes you think so?
Well, because I don't know who she'd ever find who'd be willing to work for her. The old porcupine.
Well, now, Sheriff, if she is doing it herself, she ain't getting very far. Her eyes are never off that trail for long.
Well, you leave her to me. I'll go up there and talk to her.
If she don't shoot you first.
By George, she has got you terrorized. Now, let's see. You say this property of hers is between Wild Road and Super Canyon.
And so, a few days later, the sheriff started out from Independence, eastward across the Argus Range, and up into the Panamints. He found Shoofly looking for all the world like somebody's nice old grandmother sitting in a rocking chair knitting in front of her cabin. In her lap, though, under the knitting, lay a gun which she reached for as he rode up.
Howdy.
You can't get up the canyon this way, stranger. This is private property.
The Shoofly, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
You're the owner?
I am.
And you're the person I come to see.
Shoofly ain't for sale, mister. I'm hanging on to it, so you can turn right around and go back where you come from.
I'm not interested in buying your mine.
Well, then what do you want?
I happen to be the sheriff of Inyo County.
Oh, well, you can't scare me.
No. No, I understand you're not exactly the timid type. Been hearing complaints about you lately from some of our citizens. Seems you're not behaving in a very friendly fashion towards
them. Get my property against claim jumpers.
Nobody's trying to jump your claim, ma'am.
They would if I give them half a chance. I think just because I'm a woman and an old woman, they can walk right onto my ground.
If you're talking about the trail up the canyon, that don't belong to you.
You see that sign, don't you?
Yeah, sure. But that still don't make it yours. Your claim don't come within 25 feet of that trail.
Why, listen, I located
it. I know exactly what you located. Got the papers right here in my pocket.
Oh.
You've got to take that chain down from across the trail and let folks by.
I'll do nothing of the
That's
kind.
That's a public right-of-way, and you can't block
well,
it. Either you take that chain down, or I'll take you along with me back to Independence.
Why, you can't do that.
Oh, yes, I can. I'm the sheriff of this here county, and I can arrest you and lock you up for 30 days or 60 days or whatever length of time the judge decides would be good for you.
You're in league with them claim jumpers, I know. They want to get me away from here so they can take possession of the shoe fly.
Now you're talking nonsense. Come on, come on. Let's see you take that chain down. I don't like to arrest ladies, but if I have to...
All right, take it down.
Good.
Sign's going to stay where it is, though.
I have no objection to that. Well, go ahead.
Chain padlocked. I don't know if I can find the key.
I'll wait till you do.
I think maybe Ah Sing's got it.
Who's Ah Sing?
Man that works for me.
Oh, Chinaman, huh?
Yeah.
Where is he?
He went down this morning with a load of ore. He won't be back till tomorrow sometime.
Oh. Well, then I might as well make myself comfortable.
You gonna wait?
Yep. Not gonna budge till I see that chain down.
He might have left the key in the cabin.
Or it just might even be in your own pocket.
Eh?
Well, no harm in looking, anyway.
Yeah,
I thought so. Well, let me have it.
I'll do the unlocking myself.
Yeah, just as you say. Only be quick about it. I've got to get back to Independence today.
There. Now, you satisfied?
I will be if you keep it down. But just let me hear that you put that chain or any other kind of barrier up again. And I'll be paying you another call with a pair of handcuffs.
You can't scare me. You nor nobody else.
All right, Pino. Come on, boy. Let's get going.
There's nothing that walks on two legs can scare me, even if it does wear a badge.
Come on, Pino. Up this way. That's the boy. Easy now. We'll pay a call on the boys before we go back and tell them everything's fixed up fine. Trail's open. Grandma's busy with her knitting. Hey, oh, boy. Oh, 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 oh. Who fired that shot?
I did.
Why, you old...
I seen a quail up yonder. I thought I'd bring it down for supper.
Oh, you did, eh? Quail for supper. Man for breakfast, she means. I got a good mind to go back and... Oh, what's the use? Come on, Benno. Come on, boy. Oh, easy now.
When the sheriff told us he'd put the fear of the law into old Shoofly, we had our doubts. And we soon found our doubts were justified. She didn't put the chain up again across the trail, but...
It might just as well be there, Sheriff, for all we can get by.
Why, she sits there in that rocking chair of hers and pops away at us with her gun if we so much as come within hailing distance.
Oh, she don't ever hit you, though.
'Cause we duck.
Oh, she wouldn't hit you anyway. It's just a gesture, this shooting. Why, she done the same thing to me the time I was up there.
Oh, he didn't tell us about that.
Well, wasn't worth mentioning.
Shot at you, did she?
Well, she said she was aiming at a quail.
Yeah, and you let her get away with it? You're a fine sheriff. Why didn't you arrest her and throw her in jail?
Well,
yeah, because she's got him buffaloed like all the rest of us.
No such thing.
Then go and arrest her now.
I would if I...
Oh, I know there'd be an if.
Now listen, fellas, I'll admit this shoe fly woman's an annoyance.
Annoyance? She's a menace.
Now, Eddie, come.
Well, she really is a public nuisance, Sheriff. Well, we can't work our claim like it ought to be worked with her around.
Yeah, she's driving everybody away from there.
Well, I'd like to do something about it. And I will when I get the time to go over there again. But you see, right now, I got some important business to attend to that just... It can't be put off.
In the opposite direction, I suppose.
Up in Montana.
Huh?
Montana?
Mm-hmm. Just got word this morning they caught the leader of the Bruce gang. You know, the fellas who robbed the First National.
Sure.
And they're holding him in Butte.
Well, when are you leaving?
Right away.
And that means you'll be away a couple of weeks.
Most likely.
Gosh.
When I get back, though, I'll do something about your friend Shoefly. I promise you. I'll go up there and tell her where to head in. If she hands me any back talk, I'll...
But by the time the sheriff returned from Montana, there was no getting up into Wild Rose Canyon or getting down from there either. The first storm of the winter set in, and a bad one it was, too. For almost a week it snowed, and the wind blowed a gale. All we could do, Eddie and me, was to plug up the chinks in our cabin and thank our lucky stars we'd laid in a good supply of wood to keep us from freezing to death. Even after the storm had cleared, the drifts were so deep that it was, well, it was just about impossible to break any kind of a trail. So you can imagine our surprise one day as we were sitting playing checkers on an improvised checkerboard with the pieces of ore for men.
Yes, your move.
Well, now, let me study this situation for a minute. Now, wait a minute. Now, if I move this feller, you'll jump me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, if I leave him where he is, well, you'll take...
It is somebody knocking.
Yes, it is. My gosh, it sounds like... It is.
Shoefly.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord you're here. I was afraid maybe you'd gone cleared out before the storm.
No, we've been here right along.
Come in. Here, let me give you a hand.
If you hadn't have been here, I don't know what I'd have done. I couldn't have went back to him. No, I couldn't.
Pull that chair up for her, Eddie, by the stove there.
All right.
That's it. She's half frozen.
It ain't the cold that's making me shiver.
Yeah, how about some whiskey?
No.
Yeah, you'd better.
No.
It'll do you good, ma'am. That'll warm you up.
Yeah, put new life into you.
Didn't do him no good. He just turned bluer and bluer.
Who?
Ah Sing.
Who?
Ah Sing. Chinaman is working for me.
Well, is he sick?
Dead.
What?
Dead?
Yep.
When?
Where?
Oh, 4 or 5 days ago. Last Tuesday, I think it was.
Over at your place?
Yep.
Gosh.
Yeah. What was the matter with him?
I don't know. He took bad all of a sudden and pains. I brought him into the shack and done everything I could for him, but he just got bluer and bluer. Then he had a convulsion and he died.
Good Lord.
Where's he now?
Right where he died, of course. Where do you think? Right where he's been for the past 5 days and 5 nights. Laying on the bunk, just a-staring and a-staring.
Well, now, you'd best have some whiskey, ma'am.
No.
After what you've been through, what?
You stayed right there with him all this time?
Nothing else I could do. I couldn't get out with the blizzard raging, and I couldn't put him out.
No.
I didn't have the nerve.
5 days and 5 nights, snowed in with a corpse.
Gosh.
It was awful. The night especially. Storm a howling outside. Him laid out there so... Oh, I never knowed before what it is to be afraid. I've always said there was nothing in God's world could scare me. But when it ain't in this world, when it's something dead, stiff and staring...
You take it easy now, ma'am.
Yeah. I try not to think about it.
Well, as soon as the storm cleared, I got out. I knowed I couldn't make it all the way to Darwin, but I figured I might be able to make it up here to your place.
I don't know how you ever did it with no trail, Brooke.
You let me stay here, won't you?
Why, of course.
Sure.
You just make yourself comfortable here for the night. In the morning, we'll all go back up to your place.
Not me.
All right, then. You can stay here, and Eddie and me will go over and tend to things.
I'm never going back there.
What?
I'll never set foot down that ground again.
You mean that you...
I'm quitting.
You're going to sell out?
Oh, sell out or just clear out. I'm all through with a Shoefly. Yep, I'm all through with the Panamints in the desert.
Hey, man.
Oh, well, now. You may feel different later on.
I'm not waiting to find out. Going back to Idaho, where I come from, just as fast as I can get there.
Well, I'll be. Say, hand me that there bottle, will you, Ranger?
Yes, sir.
A lady may not want a drink, but I do.
Yeah. Did our Singh, did he have a wife and children, ma'am?
No family at all.
He'll leave no descendants.
Yeah.
Well, I hereby appoint myself his descendant, by adoption, to bury him proper, protect his effects, and set off the firecrackers in his honor at least once a year. To our Singh, my neighbor and revered ancestor.
The program you've just heard is another true story of Death Valley Days, presented for your enjoyment every Friday evening at this hour by the Pacific Coast Borax Company, producers of 20 Mule Team Borax for household use, the 20 Mule Team Borax soap chips in the big blue and yellow sunshine box for washing clothes and dishes, and Boraxo for toilet use. The discovery of borax in Death Valley back in the 1880s was an event of far-reaching importance to industries as well as to each individual home in America. So great was the need for this gift of nature that men and mules endured untold hardship to bring the treasure out. The largest wagons ever made were created for the purpose, and strings of 20 mules were trained to answer to the jerk line and jump the traces in rounding the precipitous mountain trails safely with their great loads. So that's the story of where the trademark 20 Mule Team came from. And its presence on your box of soap chips is important to you because it guarantees that 20 Mule Team Borax soap chips contain enough 20 Mule Team Borax to be of real benefit in cutting grease and grime, dissolving dirt, conditioning your water, whether it's hard or soft, and to make creamy, long-lasting suds. Next week, the Old Ranger plans to tell you about the telephone operator who had her finger on the pulse of Goldfield for 33 years. The artists featured in tonight's Death Valley Days program were Irene Hubbard, the Old Ranger John McBride, Milton C. Herman, Frank Butler, and Jeffrey Bryant. This is George Hicks speaking.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY with an episode of Death Valley Days. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.